Welcome to CoCurious, where sacred learning and financial traditions come to be reinvented so that wisdom and money don't compete. My name is David McLean, and we're powered by learningadvisory.com. Bill, welcome. Why is the concept of personal mastery so nebulous?
The job of the ego is to protect us, even at times, from ourselves, which is where we find perception and personality. So there's a constant barrage of neuroimpulse, and it's a nebulous concept, David. And what my research would suggest is that who wants to acknowledge, recognize, and expose for the entire world, I might have a deficiency, I might have an insufficiency, even in the highest levels of leadership, even in the most educated. And it gets even worse for the uneducated, right? Ignorance is not bliss. It's just stupid. And if we don't start sociologically to teach accordingly, that even in our humanity, we never get to a perfectional state. That's the part of the journey here. But if we can be vulnerable enough to tap into our curiosity and ask questions, even in the face of adversity, even in the face of potential humiliation, we can undo or bring clarity and structure to that nebulous construct that is personal mastery. Oh yeah, I'm getting better. Oh yeah, I'm well-defined. Oh yeah, I'm use the adjective. And it's not until we incorporate the triangulation of multiple lenses, such as with the Learn Smartly platform and the work of a trained and skilled executive coach, a thought partner, in a safe space, psychologically, safe space, do we find accuracy in our self-awareness? The skeleton key that opens the threshold to emotional intelligence, to empathy. That is the recognition of an emotional state, a mindset, a disposition in another. And what Peter Singer refers to as personal mastery, which is what Albert Bandura defined as self-efficacy. It is a process. It is iterative. It is lifelong. No one checks the box and says, I've got it.
I am, you are, we are a work in progress. And that doesn't cease. By architecture and association, organizations, families, communities, are works in progress because they are human-created constructs. And so why do you believe we often have a hubristic sense or perception of our own self-awareness, state of self-awareness? Like we've spoken about the nebulous concept of personal mastery, we're also navigating the subjective perception of self-awareness. How then can we bring greater accuracy to the assessment of our self-awareness?
There's two questions therein. First and foremost, the why. Why are we hubristic in our perception of self and our development? It's the ego's job to do so. Who wants to stand naked in Times Square, exposed for all, right? I'm vulnerable. I'm less than. I'm not my assumed or desired to be perfection. When I am asked to speak on leadership, one of the first questions that I ask of your right-hand person, the one with whom and in whom you have bestowed to contribute to your decision-making, whom you rely upon, which is the greater value or characteristic? Is it honesty or is it integrity? If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. The reason it's a trick question is because one is a dependent variable and the other is an independent variable. You can have honesty, raw and wriggling in its humanity. And that's where you find prejudice. That's where you find bias. That's where you find misogyny and bigotry. Integrity, on the other hand, requires honesty, but it also implies that you have big picture, not only understanding, but consideration. It requires empathy. It requires the understanding of the collateral impact of your decision-making, in particular as a leader or a steward of others. And again, that empathy is the recognition of the emotional state of another and the ability to be compassionate about it. This process of developing requires, according to my research, empirical research, requires that we rely upon psychometrics and outside input from trained individuals, not a 360. A 360 is so biased and fraught with inadequacy. Who wants to speak about a peer or, heaven's sake, a leader? And if I can tag Colin Adam and our departed Rob Barnes and Jaime Gordon, the brilliance of their work is that they understood the triangulation of five different lenses rooted in psychology and human behavior and emotion and organizational development. This is a tool that was designed for executive coaching and culture development. And it's only through that triangulation where we can reveal the accuracy of reality, the accuracy of one's self and how they show up in the world. Then we bring in the coaching element of the ontological. This is a way of being, and it's rooted in one's value system. It's rooted in one's experiential life, and that contributes to the memories that we store, which of course directly impact our perception and our personalities, the things that we rely on to show up and defend us against the hard, cruel world. This is such an intricate creation, this emergent human behavior. Individualized, unique, because each lived experience is that.
And how do I share it with a stewarding mindset as opposed to a heroic, conquering mindset, which is the antithesis of a higher degree of self-awareness and the empathy, the consideration, and appropriate nurture of others?
Yes, sir. It was first studied in the 70s, but because our neuroscience had not yet evolved significantly enough, it was kind of dismissed because it couldn't be measured. And it was assumed to be a combination of emotions and cognitive process. And in spite of our advances in technology, in medicine, we can still only identify correlates of brain activity that lead us to believe that one is in a conscious state. Self-awareness requires consciousness. And from a neuroscientific standpoint, we still don't know when someone is in a state of consciousness, except for their own subjective tale, their own story. What is self-awareness versus what is accurate self-awareness? That is measured. That is something that has been tested with scientific reliability and validity. It has been opined for years that self-awareness leads to emotional intelligence, that leads to empathy, that leads to self-efficacy. Maslow would have called it self-actualization. My research specifically focused on how do we measure and come to that place of accuracy in our understanding of self-awareness, because that is the linchpin, right? If we're going to work on the mental ability, the skill set of developing emotional intelligence, well, what comes after that? Empathy, and then back to the self, right? The evolution, the iterative process of betterment, transcendent. How do I share this? How do I impact society? You know, the real disconnect, unfortunately, as we see in society at this moment, is with individuals who are in positions of high power and authority. Is their placing ahead of others, which is the antithesis of stewardship, right? Is their own gain. How do they maintain their power? How do they maintain their wealth and their influence? That's a reflection of a great insecurity. How ironic. The people who have the most abundance in authority and power and station, and all they want to do is fence it in and make sure that their generations survive. What a travesty.
I wrote a reflection for LinkedIn that got a lot of interaction and titled it Unconscious Privilege. Arguably, the default of the human condition is to protect my immediate needs and preferences. If my pattern is to do that unconsciously, it is highly likely that it's going to manifest as disconnection from others who fall outside of my immediate needs and preferences. So what one practical thing can we do to become more conscious, to have situational awareness that other people I'm engaging with might have different immediate needs and preferences?
Such a deep question. We have to start with the assumption that we're dealing with somebody who understands that the we is more important than the me, and that's a big distinction. That individual would also have to be willing to confront his and her own humanity in that it's okay to be vulnerable. If we're making the assumption that most people think and feel the same way, that we are more secure, that we are better for, and we all survive as a we, as opposed to a me, then I would answer your question with, we need to be curious. Can you be curious about how you're showing up, about what your options are? Remember that interaction between the personality and the perception. What if today's globally civilized society, not all, most, would suggest experientially that it's not a bear that I'm confronting? It's likely the shadow of my emotional support Shih Tzu. So I might have to question some things before I react to them. Can you suspend judgment? Can you suspend emotion? Can you suspend bias long enough to get all of the data on the table, on the whiteboard, on the overhead screen? It's the standardized process of change. Assess, analyze, plan, research, implement, gather feedback, and then adjust in a nanosecond. Isn't that what we're working toward?